Keiko's Diary.
Welcome to the Keiko's Diary podcast, where I get up close and personal with creatives to uncover the people behind the art. So without further ado, let's bring in today's guest, the Icy Prince himself, Steve Staley.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure, Steve. I'm so happy to have you on the show today. I've got to ask you, how are you feeling? I mean, you just recently returned to the legendary Bleach anime as Toshiro Hitsugaya and Shuhei Yasagi. It's been a minute, hasn't it?
It has, and both characters have shown up, and so I've been able to do both. But it's just so fun to sit there and do these characters like nothing happened, you know, like nothing ever, like 10 years didn't go by.
Exactly. Did it feel like that for you, or was it like, oh my gosh?
No, it didn't. Just from a practical standpoint, the job of doing voiceovers is, for the most part, always the same, right? So it just felt like putting on a glove that you hadn't worn in a while. It was the same as it ever was, really.
That's awesome. Yeah, just an old familiar friend. It's interesting. I think that a lot of voice actors, once they invent these characters, they're always inside them and they just have to pull them out when it's time. So that's
awesome. Especially a show like that, which we did for so long. And then there you get a reference of your performance. And then at that point, you know what to do.
And the fans are just loving it. It is, I mean, the artwork is just gorgeous. And it's,
yeah, it looks pretty cool. I haven't seen a ton of it. And then my scenes have been small. And I've recorded that so far here at home. So I'm not getting to see it on a big screen, but I can see enough of it. And it's really cool.
Let's kick things off with my favorite segment, the 60-second 411. Favorite color?
Green.
Favorite movie?
Today, I'll say Tootsie.
Favorite song?
Man, that's hard. I'm going to say I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Favorite game?
Missile Command, Atari.
Greatest fear?
Oh, my God. Getting my head cut off.
Hot or cold weather?
Hot.
Night owl or morning bird?
I used to unequivocally answer that night owl, but I'm going to switch to morning bird now that I'm old.
Cool. Favorite singer?
Ann Hampton Calloway.
Favorite food?
Lasagna.
Favorite holiday?
4th of July.
Biggest pet peeve?
Repetitiveness.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Flying.
Oh my goodness, time is up. You did amazing, Steve. Oh my goodness, only 2 questions left. You are so fast on your feet. Out of curiosity, I mean, I've just got to ask, who is your favorite Spice Girl?
Sporty. Is Sporty Spice one?
She is, yeah, the one with the ponytail. Yeah.
Sporty, sure.
What about your favorite subject in school, since we didn't get to that one?
I guess science, other than choir, but I don't count choir as a subject.
Oh, are you a singer?
Yes, even though that subject essentially led to my career, so you'd think like that would have been my favorite, and although it was my favorite, I don't think of it as a subject. So let's just go with science.
The spotlight.
We were talking earlier about how you were turning to one of your most well-known roles. So let's go ahead and just talk about a little bit more of that, because you just have one of the most impressive resumes I've ever seen. I'll just say it. I mean, let's just list this. You've been on Akira, Mass Effect, Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell, Final Fantasy games, Vampire Knight, The Prince of Tennis. I mean, my goodness, the list is endless.
Yeah. But,
so, well done. You're doing something right.
Well, good. Thank you. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, just being you. You just wake up and you sound so cool that people want to put you in all this stuff.
Put me in the stuff. Put me in the game.
Yeah.
I'm ready to play.
Toshiro and Shuhei from Bleach. Bleach is known for being part of the big 3 shonen titles, and it's bigger than ever with the Thousand Year Blood War currently airing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wanting to talk to you about your experience with these roles. When casting and production first began on this English version, and that was back around 2004, they first tried to keep it under wraps because it was so huge. So what was your experience like receiving your roles, and when did you realize that Bleach was as famous as it is?
Interesting. And I clearly remember the auditions for Naruto. Why I don't know, because we do a lot of the same stuff over and over again. But I don't remember auditioning for Bleach. Same company, actually, meaning in terms of my relationship as an actor.
Right.
Same studio. But I don't remember that audition. So I got the part, and I didn't know anything about Bleach or the role, actually. So I just went to work, right, with no preconceived notion. And then at work, at the very beginning of Bleach, I think Wendy Lee was directing it, and she's very thorough and helped us all through understanding what it was. And at the time, right, we didn't know if it was just going to be five records on this one show. I didn't know that it was going to go on, because nothing else ever went on past that longer than one, one segment, 12, 24 episodes maybe. And then it just kept going. So it wasn't until somewhere in the second year, third year, that it was like, wow, this is still, you know, they call up and say, hey, we got more Bleach. And I'm like, okay, cool, when? And then it was part of the longevity that led me to understand that it was successful and popular. Because remember, the internet wasn't quite as, wasn't really a resource to be like, oh, look at this on Bleach. Oh, look at this video clip. Oh, here, somebody just sent me this. We had to just hear from people, or people who bought DVDs at the time, or fans, and so on.
Yeah, and then you go to the conventions and you see all these people who are like, your character changed my life, and that sort of thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, we went down one time to Anaheim, so I'm guessing it was Anime Expo, and had a pretty big panel, and we were like, wow, this is just one city, and this many people are aware of and care about Bleach. So we were all impressed and excited.
Yeah, it's interesting. You go in to record for these parts or these games, and you never know what's going to come back a few years later until it happens. And then you realize
no one tells you anything. And you go in and do your part to the satisfaction of the people who are paying you. And then it's like, thank you. Bye.
That must be why it's extra rewarding when you see the reach that these characters you've done have later.
Right.
Because it's like, wow, that matters.
It's an understanding that you're part of something bigger than your participation.
It's super easy also for people to love characters like the ones you voice. I mean, you, like I said, you just wake up sounding so cool. Was that something you just, were you shown like the reference of the Japanese, or were you given free range?
I think if they maybe even gave us a ref for the audition, probably not. Maybe. And you read a little about it. On the page, it would have said, Toshiro is this. I didn't know that it was going to be an 8-year long thing. It just, the next thing I know, I'm doing those two characters. But you do get a reference, and then you do your audition, and they pick who it is they think is the most like. And then when you're at work, obviously, you hear every single line in Japanese before you record it in English.
Well, they certainly made the right choice. I can't imagine anyone else voicing those two characters.
That's nice. Thank you. Fighting with Rangiku.
Oh my goodness, that never gets old, the playful banter between the two. Bleach has one of the best voice casts in the world. It's just incredibly solid.
Diverse cast in that. Yeah. I did a signing with Dina Sherman, and it was a Bleach signing. And I didn't even know Dina was on the show, and she showed me the pictures of her character, and I'm like, I don't recognize this character. And it's just so funny that there's so much going on in the show that clearly Toshiro and her character never really interacted enough that I even remembered it. Same with Danielle. Danielle Judovich is a friend of mine. I guess it was when we did the spin-off of Naruto called Rock Lee and His Ninja Pals. Maybe there's another name for it. Maybe that's what we called it. And I was like, wait, Danielle, you're 10-10?
She's like,
yeah.
That?
Like, how could we have been on this show together for this many years and not know that?
What's great about long-running series like Bleach or Naruto is how they really allow you to get to know your character well. And your role of Neji Hyuga from Naruto, I'd like to talk to you about your role in that show. Did you enjoy working with this same cast for so many years and going on this journey with your character?
Yeah, because, you know, it's all about scheduling. So when you come in after other people have recorded, you get a bigger feel for the show. If you're the first one in, you get nothing. Okay. So it was fun over time to be at different points in that process, to hear, to have the other lines to act off of, or to know that I was dropping in lines that someone else would act off of, while at the same time keeping the intensity, I guess what we'll call a karate show, you know, and keeping the intensity high.
There's so much world building and lore behind it, and I think that the fans really get into that.
Yeah, and there, and obviously it's gone on for so long that there was plenty of time to build those worlds.
You've also lent your voice to major video games, including Mass Effect, Final Fantasy, even World of Warcraft. I mean, Steve, you are, again, you're a superstar.
Final Fantasy, oh my gosh, we've been in a few Final Fantasy games. Several. Those are, talk about ubiquitous, either for being in the Final Fantasy movie or then the games. There was a couple of games, one where I was doing an English accent the whole time, and then the most recent game where everybody I knew had sessions on that game. I think that was the one where we were working literally on Thanksgiving.
Wow, that is commitment.
In such a hurry to, they needed it done.
Have you actually played any of them? And to expand upon that, do you like hearing your own vocal performances?
I haven't really played the games. Although I have recently been to a couple of parties where party games were played and played the party games, but as far as playing the games, I haven't. When you first hear your voice,
it's weird.
Recorded, everybody freaks out. Everybody hates it, right? It's just natural. But interestingly enough, in voiceovers, at a certain point, you've heard yourself back so many times that it stops surprising you. It stops sounding foreign to you.
Right.
Especially if you're doing a character. Then I just laugh and I'm like, oh my God, that's me.
Yeah, you've had to do some pretty bizarre things through the years. Everyone tends to tell you what their favorite project or character you worked on is. So I just want to take a minute and ask you, what is your personal favorite?
I would say Heat Guy J, because that was a show that I really liked doing, and I loved the way it looked, and there's a lot I liked about it. So I can stick with that. As far as like performances, probably Final Fantasy, the Advent Children.
Have you ever?
Okay, Steve, first question. Have you ever gone skydiving?
No, I haven't. And I used to want to, but I want to less now. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm older, but no, I haven't. Exciting though.
Have you ever touched a snake?
Hey now, I have at the zoo and in different places, or people sometimes have pet snakes. So yes, I have touched a snake.
Oh my goodness, what does it feel like?
Exactly what you would think. Just like skin or the scales, like touching not like touching a fish, because it's not slimy.
Right, but something
it just
similar.
It feels like scales, yeah, plasticky.
Have you ever broken your phone?
Like the glass? I've broken the glass a few times, yes. As far as a catastrophic break, no.
Have you ever been betrayed?
That came up in acting class one time when we were working on a scene, and the teacher asked me that, and I was like, no, I don't think I have. But then, you know, when you open up the definition of that, you're like, okay, I suppose you could consider that betrayal. But as those kinds of things go, I suppose I've been pretty lucky.
Have you ever cried in public?
Yeah, I mean, at the movie theater. Maybe at a funeral or two.
Yeah. Yeah, but for the most part,
when I was a kid. Yeah. When I was a little kid, right? That doesn't count, though.
Have you ever broken any bones?
I have not broken any bones.
Oh, knock on wood. Cool.
I know.
Have you ever exploded with rage?
Yes, not very often.
But on occasion.
And less often as I get older, because I am in more control. But every once in a while, you know, you're nice until you're not nice. Couple, you know, embarrass myself at a store. I wasn't like caring, but you know, that's rare. But the answer is yes.
Well, cool. I appreciate your honest answer. Have you ever been cheated on?
Oh, wow.
Deep.
No. I mean, of course, I'm sure I'm not the only person who would say, not that I know of.
Yeah.
But no, no.
That is so good. I'm very happy to hear that.
Okay, good.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
Nope, me neither.
No.
Do you believe in ghosts, by the way?
I mean, not really, but right, I don't have any way of knowing about that, but not really.
Right, gotcha. Have you ever seen a UFO?
No.
Have you ever run away?
Not really. No. You know, you run away, but if you're gone for less than an hour...
It can't be serious, yeah.
I don't know how much it counts.
Have you ever done something crazy?
Yeah, like decide that I was going to move to Hollywood and become an actor? That's crazy.
Have you ever tried something and regretted it?
Shabu shabu.
Have you ever pulled an all-nighter?
Rare. I'm pretty much about my sleep.
Have you ever been terrified?
I've recently been thinking about waking up in the middle of the night in 1994 when the big Northridge earthquake hit.
Oh,
and
wow.
Those of us who lived in the valley, that was, I guess that was terror.
Yeah.
But it was more confusion laced with terror.
Fan mail.
Okay. Bridget O'Hara wants to know, what's the most memorable fan encounter you've had?
A guy showed me how he could do handstand push-ups as a reaction to the character Ippo in Hajime no Ippo, or Fighting Spirit.
That is pretty impressive.
So he did handstand. He did 10 handstand push-ups in front of me to show.
That is incredible. I didn't know you could do that in real life. Primafrost wrote, Toshiro was my first anime crush and remains my bias to this day. Diamond Dust Rebellion is GOAT. The way you voice him is perfect, Mr. Staley. Please say your Bankai in your Toshiro voice. Oh, that's cool.
All right.
Daigurun Hyoren Maru!
Oh my goodness! Thank you for blessing us with that, Steve. That was incredible. This is kind of an interesting one. Matthew Podcast Network at WWE Master 2018. He sent something fun. He wants you to describe 13 characters you've done in words and tell how you got the role of each character. So I was thinking what we're going to do to fit this in is make a game out of it. So I'll set the timer for 3.5 minutes and we'll just see how many we can get to. Kazuya Satome from Handmade May. That is so far back.
I mean, I love that because she was the little tiny handmade May, and I was like her keeper. I don't have a lot of memories per se, other than that I think that was an anime's show, and I have fond memories of driving up to Magnitude 8 Studio on Laurel Canyon to do hours and hours of work in anime before I even really was aware of
what it was.
That's where I first anime I ever did was at Magnitude 8.
That's awesome. How about Shiro Amada from Mobile Suit Gundam?
Yeah, I also did that at Magnitude 8. That's also a great memory. That one I actually have memories of because Gundam was something that even if you didn't know anime, you may have had a glancing visual recognition of a Gundam.
Totally.
So I kind of was familiar with that. I was also aware that I was playing the leading role, which I thought was cool. And it gave me a lot to do, particularly at that time and at the age that I was at. I just got to do I got to be the leading role and dive into that. I absolutely remember that. And then I used some of Shiro on my first animation demo.
That is so cool. Well, you totally nailed it. That was an amazing job. What about Koji Minamoto from Digimon Frontier?
Yeah, I do have a soft spot for Koji as well because that that cartoon, they were able to not just localize, they had some version of permission to redo everything, the music, the script. Now, obviously, there's only so much you can change the script because the story is the story, but they weren't held quite as tightly as some dubs are to a literal translation. And so that show got to breathe a little bit more, and I loved playing that character with all his pathology and bad attitude. And I love Kojin at a studio up here on Burbank Boulevard called D-Spot.
Oh, that's so cool. That was such a memorable part. We're down to a minute, 9 seconds. Kamui Shiro from X.
Loved X because that was a part I got to do where I didn't not every single line was screaming at the top of my lungs. It was the first time I got to be a darker hero, lead, anti-hero, etc.
Yes, totally. How about Kazuki Muto from Busou Rinken?
I don't know what I would say about that. I mean, I know that, but as we sit here, I can't think of anything specific I would say about Busou. I think that was in the middle of when I was doing a lot of shows, and so it was one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one the day after tomorrow, and those kinds of things. But Busou Rinken, definitely.
Okay, how about Hoka Inamuta from Kill la Kill?
Yeah, that was cool too because I knew that show was popular. That's the first show I ever did where Alex on David was my director, and it's a completely memorable show because it was had a new vibe for a show full of young people doing, you know, what I jokingly call crazy anime stuff.
And there's the timer. The remaining characters were Rubius from Sailor Moon, Riddler.
Sailor Moon, Crimson Rubius, Riddler. I did do a one thing of Riddler, and I don't really know where to go to look for that. I've seen clips of it that people have sent me, but I've never actually seen those little Warner Brothers snippets. So maybe if somebody sees this and knows where it is, you'll tell me where I can go to watch it.
There was also Frodo.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was a project sanctioned by the Tolkien family. Not sanctioned, but done in cooperation with, right? It was not a Peter Jackson thing. And so it was cool that it had been done through the estate or something, but I got to play Frodo. That was cool. It started at 8 a.m. And in show business, no jobs start at 8 a.m. But that one started at 8 a.m. I think because it was a phone patch to somewhere else. But anyway.
Gotcha. Those early morning sessions are very, very challenging.
Mostly because you don't want to be late. But anyway.
True. Good point. Yeah. And there was also, of course, Papalimo from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's the English accent job I was telling you about, the Final Fantasy. That was fun because Jamie was the director, not Jamie Simone. It's always fun to do a character like that with the fun accent, kind of unserious.
And the last two were Ippo
Nakano Uchi, which I already kind of referenced. That's a great show. It comes back a lot in terms of people referencing it. In fact, just this season, Michael B. Jordan was talking about it a lot as an inspiration for the Creed movie that he just directed.
That's amazing. I love mm-hmm. how all these amazing shows are getting more noticed than ever because of the internet and how it's blowing up and it's easier for people to access.
You're right.
Yeah.
Back in what I would call the anime's days, we all knew that the way people watched this was they bought DVDs, period. That was what you did. And so for the idea that I can go on Netflix and look at Demon Slayer, you know, that it's all just right there. Amazing.
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 So accessible. It's about time. And then Eiji Kikumaru from The Prince of Tennis.
There's two Prince of Tennises. There's this new one.
Yeah.
And then the one we did maybe, 15 years ago.
The Deep Dive.
Steve, the first deep question is, if a genie could grant you three wishes, what would they be?
All three?
All three.
I've always thought it would be fun to have a pass that I could just order any airline tickets I wanted when I wanted. Like if I had, if I won a prize and it was a code that I would just go on and type in, and as long as there was a seat available, I could have it. I've even thought out the rules. You can't kick someone else off the flight, but you can have any seat that's available in any class of service that you want. That would be, I think, a fun wish. Now, if this was real wishes, that would be wasted because then you would just wish that you could teleport or something like that. Second one would be clear out my arteries. Keep me healthy and strong. Stop the ringing in my ears. Anything like that.
Goodness. Oh, yes. I feel you. That would be super nice. Health, if you've got health, you've got everything, right?
It's true. I don't know what the third wish would be.
Infinite pizza or something?
Sure, infinite pizza, money, right? All the cliches.
Yeah. Aren't you afraid of death?
I mean, in a way, not really, right?
Cool.
But in a way, totally. It's what Woody Allen says. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
I love that. Yeah. I know, if you could just like schedule an appointment or but not know about it, I don't know, or if a giant boulder could just come out of the sky. What is your biggest regret? Another deep one.
Regret.
I mean, how can someone as accomplished as you have any regrets? But just saying.
Well, in a funny way, one of the reasons that I went ahead and decided to become an actor, I had other ambitions, but I went into acting was because I said to myself, I don't want to get older and regret that I should have done it.
What is your earliest memory of life?
I feel like I was in a crib.
Ooh,
and
wow.
That I was waking up in the morning and seeing the Wicked Witch of the West like coming up out of the floor, like almost the opposite of her melting.
Yeah,
and
reverse
freaking out. But I don't like that it's a freaking out memory, but I do remember that. What they've shown is that here's your memory, but then you've layered on to that memory over the years without even knowing it, and so that it's not the same memory. But that is an early memory, and I do remember that. But I wish I could think of the other one that I was just recently thinking about, because it was just simple, you know, but definitely early. My brother and sister maybe having a party.
Aww.
In the basement. They're much older than me. And being a little kid and being able to see them setting up for the party, but having no awareness of the party because I was probably put to bed. But that's not the same as like me telling you I saw the Wicked Witch of the West from
yes.
my crib.
So did you just confirm that she exists? It's interesting how even you'll be going throughout your day. Do you ever just suddenly smell something that takes you back?
Well, I think it's proven. And the reason that they've given is because the receptors of scent are right on your brain. They're right on your brain. They don't have to go through anything. They're right there. And so, but definitely powerful and evocative. And sometimes you can even smell something, right, that takes you so far back you didn't even realize. After having been to New York for the first time, you know, when I was very young, and you go somewhere and you smell a boiling hot dog, dirty,
yeah.
Like there's that very specific, oh my gosh, that smells like New York.
So weird. Yeah, the subconscious mind is a very fascinating place, isn't it?
Mm?
Our slogan is keep being creative. And we always say that. I really believe in nurturing people's creativity. And we do have listeners who are working on their own craft, whether it's like you acting, or maybe they're just artists, or maybe it's something completely out of the entertainment industry. What does being creative mean to you personally, and how has it impacted your life and career looking back on it? And do you have any advice for others?
Well, it mostly, when you ask that question, I feel very lucky, very honored that I have... once I started working, that I've kept working all these years, and I'm even able to do something that involves my creativity. And in fact, after this number of years, and now as a director and all of that, where I take what I've learned creatively as an actor and come at it from the other side of the glass, so
totally.
To speak, that I get to use all of that creativity that I've been so lucky to spend my entire adult life working on. You know, making it better, getting a chance to use it, or having that be my marketable skill. It just depends on what your creative journey is. And that just, I would just say, do art, you know, stay creative in whatever way that is, you know, whether you're in a church choir, or you guys have a band and you do whatever, or whether you're pursuing it professionally, any of it. It's important to stay creative just for the health benefits, let alone the relaxation and enjoyment that it provides.
I would like to give you the floor to tell the viewers about any upcoming projects you're working on, or just anything else you'd like to share with them before we sign off.
Nothing I'm working on is anything I can talk about right now. I'm doing an appearance at Unlock the Con on June 10th. 9:30 a.m. in Auburn, Washington.
Well, everyone, make sure you follow Steve, because he's so talented and he's always always got something amazing up his sleeve that's going to come out.
Hey!
Yeah!
I'm Steve Staley, and for MLA Entertainment, keep being creative.
Hey, you. You can help support the Keiko's Diary podcast by liking, subscribing, and sharing it with your friends. Sounds like you're pretty powerful. Thank you for listening, and keep being creative.